Philippians chapter 1 and read tonight verse 1 through 11. And if we can read those verses together, verse 1 through 11 in Philippians chapter 1. And starting there in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we've been able to read once again tonight together, and may you add your blessing to our reading. And Father, you would quicken us now, Lord, so that we might receive that which you would have for us tonight. Lord, we are here by divine appointment, and we, Lord, trust you and look to you to speak to each of our hearts, Lord, in some way, so that, Lord, as a result of being here, perhaps we'd be better Christians, Lord, and we would bring more glory and honour to thy name. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've been looking, for those who have been coming through Philippians, and we're down to now verse 11. Last week we looked at the latter part of verse 10, which says that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. Paul is expressing in these verses 9 through 11 his prayer for the believers. And we've been doing just a little bit at a time and expounding a little bit upon them just to better understand what Paul was praying and why he was praying the way he was. And so last week we looked at that latter part of verse 10, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. And the word sincere had the idea of pure or unmixed or without hypocrisy. And to be without offence meant that two aspects. One is we were not a stumbling block to someone else. And secondly, that there was no offences or sin in our lives that would be an embarrassment, as it were, for us. Because he prayed that they may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. And there's another reference there. We looked this morning at what's called the rapture, the catching away of the saints, and many verses that speak of that. And this is another one where Paul, as he writes to the church at Philippi, they need to be mindful that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and as a result they need to have their lives in such a condition that they won't be ashamed at the day of Christ. So I want to go on tonight to verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so starting from love in verse 9, he has been developing this theme down here to verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And that means the idea of the fruits are those things which are the results of righteous living or right living. Or we would put it maybe the fruits which righteousness produces in a person's life. Or maybe righteousness with the idea of our fulfillment of our duties to God and to man. If we're to live a righteous life, then we have an obligation and a responsibility to live in a right relationship with God and with our fellow man. And so Paul is praying that they would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. not just have a few here and there, but our lives would be full of these fruits of righteousness, and we may perhaps call them good works, especially when we understand that this is to be to the glory and praise of God. You remember how the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5 said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so this idea of righteousness or fruits of righteousness or the good works that we do as believers. And in Ephesians 2:10, Paul said, "Therefore, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And when we walk in those good works, when we let our light shine, when we do those things, and it produces the fruit of righteousness in our lives. Have a look in Romans chapter 1. Just want to look at some of these fruits, just quickly at some of the fruits that will become evident in our lives. If we are living a righteous life, in other words, a right life, or a life that is right with God and man, fulfilling our duties to God and man, then here's one of the things that will be evident. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, he says there, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now what's Paul saying? One thing he's saying at least is he wants to get down there to Rome and preach so there will be some fruit as a result of his preaching. So there'll be some people saved as a result of his preaching and his teaching down in Rome. And so for you and I, if we're living that righteous life that we ought to live, if we're living that life where there is the fruit of righteousness, part of that fruit will be seeing other people blessed and even coming to the Lord in salvation. There ought to be some fruit in our lives somewhere. Now, we live in a day and age where people generally in this country are very hardened to the gospel. We understand that. Materialism and all the other worldly pleasures and treasures have choked out the thought that even there is a God, and we're not really interested in that anymore. But we need to understand that the fruits of righteousness, part of that will be evident by the fact that we're trying to outreach at least to others, trying to share the gospel with others where we can. And we don't know what that fruit will be and how it will finally manifest itself, because as Paul said in his prayer, that it'll be fruit that comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not fruit that I produce. If it was fruit that I produce, then I could be a salesman. And then I've got to just get the right technique and just get the right words to say. And so I go out and I get them signed up, you know, just sign them up. And that's the way you do it. When we were in the AMP, I wasn't a salesman in the AMP, but when they had salespeople come in, they would say, "Now here's what you have to do. You have to get at least 32 contacts, and out of those 32 contacts, you'll get 5 people who might let you talk to them, and out of those 5, you'll get 1.3 sales," or whatever it was. And so away you go. Just do it. You just got to keep doing it, and you do enough, you get enough, you know. That's totally different in the Lord's work, because we're not the ones who produce the fruit. It's the Lord who produces the fruit through us, but we're to have the fruits of righteousness which can be seen by others as we have a concern for the lost around us. I know we often emphasize that, but I believe it's something that we need to keep emphasizing, it because we can quickly lose that enthusiasm and ardor and desire to see people come to the Lord, because it's just plain hard work. And you get a few rebukes and a few knockbacks and a few rebuffs, and before long you think, I'll just pray for the pastor to go out or whatever. Rather than there should be these fruits of righteousness, which includes outreaching to others. Now, I've said before, we don't all have to door knock. For those who can on Saturday, we'll be looking to do some. But if you've never door knocked, then you ought to do it at least once to know what it's like to sweat and feel uncomfortable and wonder who's going to come to the door and what they're going to say and whether they'll be like the man the other day who slammed the door on us and abused us, or just what it's going to be like, you know, and it gets exciting. You don't know who's going to come out and what they're going to say to you. It's fun. It's just getting out there that's the difficult part. Once you're out there, it's good. But there should be that fruit, that desire, that looking to reach out to others. Paul said that I might have some fruit among you. So I want to get down there. I've got a desire to see some fruit among you folk. And so it ought to be for us. That's one of the fruits I believe he's talking about. You have a look in Romans chapter 6, same book, Romans chapter 6. He talks about a different kind of fruit in verse 22. Well, in verse 21, he asks a question about fruit. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Paul says now as believers who are yielded to God, and you can read that chapter for yourself and work your way through it. Paul says you need to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto God and alive dead indeed under sin, alive under God through the Lord Jesus, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness and so forth, and said the fruit of that will be holiness in our lives. The fruit of holiness. Do people see that fruit in our lives, or do they see anything else but the fruit of holiness? Now, if you have the fruit of holiness, there are going to be people who look at you and they're going to go, they're a bit weird. They're a bit strange. There's some things they don't do and some things they do. I had a lady ring me this afternoon. It was kind of an interesting conversation. It was mainly one-sided, but she rang up and my wife had answered the phone and she passed it over to me and she wanted to speak to Reverend Cotton. Now, she's already in trouble calling me Reverend. I mean, she's not in my good books. So she said, now, first thing I want to ask is, how old are you? So I want to know roughly who I'm talking to in that sense. So I'm 63. She said, good. She said, I'm 48. And I'm not sure what this was leading to. She said, I live so-and-so, and I'm this and that and that and that and that. And I used to live there, and that 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 and that. And then she went on and on. She's going on and on and on. And she's got this sickness and that sickness and this problem. And she's wanting something. What is she wanting? And so I'm a little bit tense, and I'm a little bit uptight, and I'm this. I said, okay, well, that doesn't sound too good. She said, I need help. She said, I've got a verse from the Bible. I said, oh, okay, what's that? And she said, Romans chapter 4. Now, I didn't check whether it's in Romans chapter 4 or whatever, but she said, you know, if you're going to have the, you know, if they're going to, from there, from, you know, and she's mumbling away about something about you've got to help people. And I said, right, okay. And so I said, what's the story? She said, well, she said, I'm just a little bit uptight and I'm just, she said, I can't eat anything. I need something sweet to eat. She said, maybe a tin of rice. You know, you can get rice, whatever it is, in a tin. I don't know, is it cooked rice or something? Rice cream. I need a tin of rice cream. And, you know, I need a couple of dollars for that. And I said, okay. Right, okay. And she said, what I really need to calm me down, she said, I need a cigarette. She said, I need a smoke. I need a smoke. I said, really? She said, yeah. So here's what you can do. She said, you come with your wife or come with someone else who could be a chaperone. You come and pick me up and take me down the shop and then we can get some cigarettes and then I'll be able to relax. I said, excuse me. I said, I won't be buying you any cigarettes. You what? You are judging me. And away she went. Whoa. And and when she stopped a moment, she said, well, could you give me $15? I said, not so you can buy some cigarettes. No, you've judged me again. You've judged me. Oh, you. Click. Some people you just can't please, you know. What I'm saying, sometimes we just have to take a stand. I don't think that's any big stand or any big deal, but I said, but in principle, I'm not going to buy you cigarettes. Well, she wasn't happy. Now, multiply that a little bit. We're talking here the fruits of holiness. There's some things we're going to say no to. There'll be some things we'll say yes to. But there should be some fruit there. You know, if someone comes, I can just buy us a, you know, carton of stubbies. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, whatever. You wouldn't like a pack of smokes with it too? Yeah, sure, whatever. No. There needs to be that fruit of righteousness, right living. We don't encourage smoking. You know, someone said if God wanted to smoke, he would have put a chimney in our head and it would have been all good. It's just not there. Anyway, the fruit of holiness. You have a look in Hebrews chapter 13. By the way, I don't mind those phone calls. I find them kind of interesting, you know, just different people you meet. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, and we see of another fruit here, part of this fruits of righteousness. In verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Notice what he says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And I believe that can be incorporated in what Paul was praying, that they may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. One of those fruits will be a thankful spirit, a spirit that is praising God continually. Thank God for people who ring up like that. Thank God for, and on we go, the continual praise, and that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to God. Fruits. Paul said, I pray that you be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we could look at others. You could look in Galatians chapter 5. There's a fruit there, isn't it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit that we produce. It's the fruit of the Spirit that comes from walking in the Spirit and living for the Lord and being led by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, etc. Fruits of righteousness, they ought to be seen in our lives. And Paul's praying that they would be filled with them. Not just, you know, a little shriveled up bit of fruit here and a little green bit of fruit there, but fruit, it's all its fullness in our lives, filled with all the fruits of righteousness. But notice what he says back in Philippians. How does this come about? I've already said that it's not through our own efforts. It's not the fruit that we produce. These fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. He is the one who produces these fruits. If we're in a right relationship with the Lord, then he will produce these fruits. He will produce the thankful spirit, the continual praise and the sacrifice of our lips. Because in Ephesians 5, Paul says there, when we're filled with the Spirit, one of the things will be that the Spirit of God will produce is a spirit of thankfulness, giving thanks always for all things under God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's the one who produces the fruit. So these fruits of righteousness, whether they be of thankfulness or holiness or reaching out to others, then all of those and many others come through the Lord Jesus. He's not merely a ticket to salvation. I'm sure some people have the idea that, you know, the Lord Jesus is the way for salvation. We need to repent and have faith in Christ, trust him. Now we're saved. And now we just kind of move on like he's over there somewhere. Not understanding that he is the way, the truth and the life from the moment we trust him as Savior until the moment we go to be with him or he comes for us. He's the way. He's the truth. He's our life, the life. So this fruit of righteousness which comes by the Lord Jesus. You have a look in John chapter 15. It's a classic passage where the Lord Jesus speaks about the vine and the branches. And he makes it very clear to us that except he works in our lives as the vine, then we won't bring forth any fruits of righteousness. In John 15, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here's this idea of fruit bearing. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And so what Paul is praying is very much in line with the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. These fruits of righteousness are as a result of the Lord Jesus living his life through us. As we yield to him as the branch, we are not the vine, we are the branches. And we are, as branches, to abide in the vine. The branch does not bear fruit of itself. You say, what do you mean? Cut that branch off and lie it on the ground and see how much fruit it'll bring. Zero. It doesn't bring forth fruit by itself. That branch has to be in its right place in the vine. And when it's in the right place in the vine, then the vine produces the fruit through the branch. It's a classic passage about fruit bearing. We abide in Christ. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We walk in obedience to his word and all the things that that means. And when we do that, he brings forth fruit. There's no effort. The branch doesn't have to put in any effort to bring forth the fruit. It just abides. That's the wonderful thing about the Christian life. When we learn these principles to abide in the vine as we ought to, then things become easy, as it were. Now, having said that, yes, tests, trials, all that. But in terms of bearing fruit, I'm not gritting my teeth and clenching my fists like, today I'm going to bring forth some fruit. No, we don't have to do that. Just, am I abiding in the vine today? Yes, I am. I can expect the fruit. Because that's what the Lord Jesus promised. That will bring forth fruit. Paul is praying, in a sense, he's praying, I pray that you will be a true branch abiding in the true vine, so that you'll be filled with all the fruits of righteousness. And then in this prayer, he finally gets to the ultimate end of what he's been praying. He's been praying that their love would abound in knowledge and judgment, that they may approve things that are excellent, they may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, they may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. What's the point or purpose of all that? Unto the glory and praise of God. So that's the point of the whole thing. It's not for our benefit, and we do benefit. It's not just for our blessing, and we get blessed. But it's for the glory and praise of God. And so you can see why the Lord Jesus is the one who has to do that. Now the idea of the glory, or the first of all, the idea is that God is honoured, God is magnified, God is the one who is honoured in everything we do in our life. When someone says, that was good, you say, oh, that was by the grace of God. Well, I enjoyed that. That was God's goodness. Boy, God answered your prayer. That's right. God answered the prayer. Not, oh, boy, I'm great at praying. No. The purpose of our lives is to bring glory to God, or honour to God. And again, in Matthew, where the Lord Jesus said that men might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So we're not in this for what we can get out of it. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. We are walking in obedience. We are abiding. We're doing all that. And we are oblivious, in one sense, to what's going on in terms of the fruit being born, because we're not bearing it. God's bearing the fruit. Other people see it. We might become aware of some of it, but he will produce the fruit in us. And who will get the glory? God gets the glory. God gets the glory. You know, in the book of Revelation, John said, thou art worthy to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. But he starts out with saying, God, you are worthy to receive glory. You are worthy to be honoured. You are worthy to be exalted. You are worthy. Your name is worthy of being extolled everywhere. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so Paul is praying here for these believers that ultimately all these things, as they build one upon another, will bring glory to God. God will be glorified and magnified, and what will flow from that is praise of God. The praise of God. People looking on, and we ourselves will praise God. We'll be a praising people. And so when God is honored as he should be, it produces this praise of God. And we understand that all the blessings, all the fruit is for the glory of God, and we praise him for that. Other people can see that and give praise to God, to see what he's doing, to see what's coming out of other people's lives, and we say, that is amazing. Praise God for what he's doing in people's lives. Praise God for the growth. Praise God for the fruit that's becoming more and more apparent in their lives. God is honoured, and we praise him for that. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this letter to the church at Philippi, Lord, just as it was written to us today, Lord. These truths, blessed truths, Lord. Father, as we see tonight, as we get to the end of Paul's prayer for the believers there, the ultimate end, the goal, is for the glory and for the praise of God. As Paul could write to the church at Corinth, wherefore, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. And ultimately that leads to the praise of God. So we pray and help us as we think about these things in our own lives. The Lord is very clear that we need to be branches. We cannot do it of ourselves. We can try, but we will fail every time, because the Lord Jesus made it clear without him we can do nothing. And so these fruits of righteousness, Paul said, which are by Jesus Christ. May we always remember that, not only for salvation is he the way, the truth, and the life, but for every day, every moment of our lives, he is to be just that, the way, the truth, and the life. He is to be the true vine, producing in us as abiding branches the fruit to his glory and praise. In the Lord Jesus' name we give thanks now. Amen.